Isaiah chapter 66. Back to catechetical days, can you name the major prophets? Or the books? Well, try Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Four books, because Lamentations wrote two. One he lamented a bit. And the rest are the minor prophets, books of the Bible. But here we have opportunity for today to hear Isaiah. And in his last chapter, chapter 66, he tells us about the heavenly Jerusalem. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious abundance. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse, you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Your bones shall flourish like the grass, and the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and he shall show his indignation against his enemies. This is the word of the Lord. And then Paul writes to the church in Galatia and to us today, speaking also then how we are to actually treat and love one another. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, doing good according to the version that we have here. My words came from memory. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, and upon the Israel of our God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Luke. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace is ours this day because of Jesus the Christ. My brothers and sisters in Christ, today is the fourth Sunday of Pentecost. Today we continue this transition into the second half of the church year, this season of Pentecost. The first half of the church year was its seasons of Advent and Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, and Easter, focuses our attention on the life and ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, with this six-month-long season of Pentecost, we shift our focus from the life and ministry of Jesus to what it really means to live our lives as Christ followers. How does the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus change us and transform us? And today, our readings remind us that we have been entrusted by Jesus himself with a ministry. A ministry of proclaiming peace and joy through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So, beloved, let's dig deeper. Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Isaiah, the 66th chapter. Here in these five short verses, Isaiah speaks peace and joy to God's people. Now, it's true, Jerusalem had been destroyed. It's true, God's people had been carried off into exile in Babylon. But Isaiah says Jerusalem will be rebuilt. God's people will come home again. And in that moment, when all of God's promises have been fulfilled, when all of their fortunes have been restored, God's people will rejoice. Listen to these incredible words of promise. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice greatly with her, all you who mourn over her. For you will nurse and be satisfied at her comforting breasts. You will drink deeply and delight in her overflowing abundance. For this is what the Lord says, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of the nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. And you will be comforted over Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart will rejoice and you will flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord will be made known to his servants, but his fury will be shown to his foes. Beloved, what a beautiful description. What a powerful description of Jerusalem restored. Again, Jerusalem will be rebuilt. God's people will indeed be restored. Because of God's mercy and grace, once more, Jerusalem will be a nurturing mother of God's people. Because of God's mercy and grace, once more, Jerusalem will feed and comfort and satisfy God's people with every good gift of grace. Because of God's mercy and grace, once more, God's people will be full of peace and joy. And beloved, this image of Jerusalem as the mother of God's people becomes in the New Testament the church. The church, beloved, is our mother. The church is where we people are nursed and fed with word and sacrament. The church is where we're comforted. The church is where we experience every good gift of God's mercy and grace. The church is where we find peace, where everything that's broken in our lives becomes whole because of Jesus. The church is where we experience joy, real joy, fullness of joy, again, because of Jesus. And that, my beloved, brings us to our gospel reading this morning in Luke chapter 10. Here in Luke chapter 10, we see Jesus sending out 72 of his disciples to proclaim peace and joy. You see, beloved, the peace and joy we as Christ followers experience in the church is not meant to be clung to selfishly, as if this peace and joy is for us alone and nobody else. No, this peace and joy we've experienced in Christ is meant for every man, woman, and child on this planet. As the church, we have been entrusted with a ministry proclaiming peace and joy to all those around us. Notice how our gospel reading this morning begins. After this, says Luke, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him to every place where he was about to go. Now, these first two words, after this, are really, really important for us to pay attention to. You see, at the end of Luke chapter 9, Luke shares with us three very brief stories about following Jesus. In the first story, a man volunteers to follow Jesus wherever he goes. But Jesus says, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then in the second story, Jesus himself asks a man to follow him. But this man replies, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. To which Jesus replies, let the dead bury their own dead. You come and proclaim the kingdom of God. And then finally, in the third story, another man volunteers to follow Jesus, but first he wants to go and say goodbye to his family. To which Jesus replies, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Now, notice, beloved, that in all three of these very brief stories, Jesus, when he speaks, is not rejecting these three people. He's simply describing the reality of what it really means, what it really takes to be a Christ follower. And he's voicing both the necessity of focus and a sense of urgency about this ministry entrusted to us by Jesus himself. Also, in each of these three brief stories, the outcome is left open-ended. Do these three individuals come and follow Jesus, or don't they? Luke doesn't tell us. And I think Luke does this intentionally so that we will think very carefully ourselves about our own call to follow Jesus. Will we follow or won't we? And it's with this in mind that Luke shares with us the story in our gospel reading this morning. He wants us to see here in chapter 10 the same necessity of focus we saw at the end of chapter 9. He wants us to feel here in chapter 10 the same sense of urgency we felt at the end of chapter 9. And that's why Jesus calls these 72 disciples first to pray for this ministry being entrusted to them. The harvest is plentiful, says Jesus, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Beloved, you always have to be careful what you pray for. All too often, we hear these words and we think to ourselves, yes, I should pray for the Lord to send out workers into the harvest fields. But our assumption is that the Lord is going to answer our prayer by sending someone else. And that makes us feel rather comfortable and self-secure. We've done our part. We've prayed for harvest workers, and now we're done. But that's not at all what happens here, is it? The same 72 who are asked to pray for workers to go into the harvest field are the harvest workers themselves. The harvest workers they just prayed for. They're the answer to their own prayer. And beloved, more often than not, the same is also true for us. So be careful what you pray for. At any rate, off they go to proclaim peace and joy. And Jesus gives them some instructions. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Don't move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God has come near you. So, first and foremost, this ministry begins by proclaiming peace. God's peace that passes all our human understanding. God's peace that heals everything that's broken in our lives. God's peace that binds us together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And when people receive this peace of God, when people experience this peace of God, they will respond with hospitality and support so that we can continue to proclaim the peace of God in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this peace, this healing of what's broken, will also be seen visibly as the sick are healed. And this will indeed demonstrate God's kingdom has come near. And that will result in joy and thanksgiving. But unfortunately, not everyone will respond well to this ministry of peace and joy in Jesus. Some people will simply push it away. Some people will want nothing at all to do with Jesus. And beloved, that's a tragedy that breaks our hearts. But this rejection cannot cause us to lose our focus or diminish our sense of urgency. But when you enter a town, says Jesus, and you're not welcomed, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. But be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near you. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Beloved, the possibility of being rejected because of the gospel does not change our proclamation. We still proclaim peace and joy in Jesus. We still proclaim the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We still proclaim forgiveness, life, and salvation in Him. The kingdom of God still comes near as we proclaim peace and joy, even when people push it away and don't want anything to do with it. And again, whenever God's peace and joy is pushed away, whenever God's peace and joy is rejected, whenever people say that they want nothing to do with God's mercy and grace, it breaks our heart. And it certainly breaks our Lord's heart, because His heart's desire is, again, that every man, woman, and child on this planet experience the peace and joy only He can give. So with a broken heart and with tears flowing from this broken heart, Jesus says, "Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades." And that breaks our Lord's heart. And then Jesus reminds these 72 disciples and us that we are ambassadors and representatives of Jesus Himself. So when people respond to our proclamation of peace and joy in Christ, they're really responding to Jesus Himself. And when they push away our proclamation of peace and joy in Jesus, they're really rejecting Jesus Himself. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects Him who sent me. Again, off they go to proclaim peace and joy. And they are overwhelmed and overjoyed by everything they experience. Luke says the 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." But notice, beloved, how Jesus responds to their enthusiasm. "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you. Rather, rejoice that your names are written in heaven." So Jesus reminds them and us about keeping our priorities straight and staying focused on the most important thing. As wonderful as it is to see the power of Satan overthrown and overcome, the real joy comes from knowing our names are written in heaven. The real joy comes from knowing others have their names written in heaven too. That's the focus of our ministry together. Seeing our names and the names of all those around us written in heaven because of the peace and joy that's ours in Jesus. And that, my beloved, brings us at last to our epistle reading this morning in Galatians chapter 6. Here in this last chapter of his letter to the Galatians, Paul speaks to how we as Christ followers are to proclaim peace and joy to each other in some very specific instances. He begins by calling us as Christ followers to care deeply for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. We know all too well that this side of heaven, we're both sinners and saints. This side of heaven, we are truly children of God whose names are written in heaven. And yet, we are also still plagued by sin. Sin that needs to be confessed. Sin that needs to be forgiven so that the brokenness caused by that sin can be healed by the peace of God that's ours in Christ. And when that happens in our life together as the people of God called Christ the Vine, oh, beloved, there is deep joy, incredible joy. So listen carefully to these words of Paul. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So, beloved, how do we truly restore a brother or sister gently? By carrying each other's burdens with all humility, gentleness, and love. Luther speaks to the way this happens whenever we celebrate the Lord's Supper. You see, all too often, we tend to emphasize only the vertical dimension in the Lord's Supper. What happens between me and Jesus when I come to the communion rail. And without a doubt, I receive from Jesus his forgiveness, life, and salvation. But beloved, there's also a very, very important horizontal dimension in the Lord's Supper. What happens between us as brothers and sisters in Christ when we come to this communion rail together? Luther says that when we come to the communion rail, we bring with us all of the sins burdening us at that moment, and we lay them down at this communion rail. And then our brothers and sisters there at the communion rail with us see us lay those burdens down, and they, as our brothers and sisters in Christ, pick those burdens up. Because they're so heavy for us to carry. They pick those burdens up and together carry them to Jesus on our behalf. That's how the peace of God that heals our brokenness becomes real for us. As we carry each other's burdens and together lay them at the feet of Jesus. Paul then goes on to say, if anyone thinks there's something when they're not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test his own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry his own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Beloved, when it comes to dealing with the burden of our sins as brothers and sisters in Christ, we carry each other's burdens. But when it comes to looking around the sanctuary and comparing ourselves to others and somehow developing an inflated sense of who we are, then we're called to carry our own load. We're called to look to ourselves. We focus on how the Lord wants us to be faithful in our own walk with Him. We don't compare ourselves to each other. We value and encourage each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, living together with humility, respect, and love. Paul then finishes this section with these words, "Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up." Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Beloved, we proclaim peace and joy, not only to all those around us, but to each other as this family of faith called Christ Divine. We proclaim the peace that heals our brokenness. We proclaim joy, the fullness of joy that's ours in Jesus. And we do this with our words and our actions continuously and tirelessly, equipped and empowered by the Holy Spirit. For in the final words of Paul to the Galatians, may we never, never boast except in the cross of Jesus Christ our Lord. He is indeed our peace and our joy. Amen. Amen.